Hey guys, welcome back to Nathan's Symposium. Today, I am accompanied by, a self-proclaimed atheist, a specialist in heuristics, my boy Abram Salazar Brito. I'm going to let you introduce yourself because apparently, according to Usiel Piñeruiscano, he said I didn't let you introduce. I'm kidding. It's just Usiel Piñeruiz.
Heuristics.
I forgot what heuristics are. Hold up.
Is there like an intro on this? Like, you know,
I can make one. Heuristics. What the? It is basically any approach to problem solving or self-discovery that employs a practical method that is not guaranteed to be optimal, perfect, or rational, but is nevertheless sufficient for reaching an immediate, short-term goal or approximation in a search space. That's very verbose.
You know what, bro? That sounds just like me. I'm going to start using that word. I'm going to make that my Instagram bio now. What is it? Heuristics?
Heuristics.
I'm going to put master's degree in heuristics.
From LLDM University.
LLDM University.
All right. Introduce yourself, everyone. Tell us about yourself. What? Why religion? Why God? Why Jesus?
Religion, bro? Look, bro, I was thinking about it the other day. I was watching the video. What's that one guy, the pastor you sent me?
I don't know his name. He has a cool name.
TikTok you sent me today, that guy. So what is his name? We got to figure out his
name. I think I saw his name. Like, I pulled it up. Hold up. I'm going to turn it down just for copyright purposes.
Yeah, because then people are going to wonder. I recommend everyone watch that guy.
He's pretty good, yeah. We got to convert him to our church. Pastor on TikTok. Let's see if I can find him.
It's crazy how many TikToks I send you of that guy.
Yeah, dude. He has a cool name. I saw it because I got on the... That thing that I said, oh my god, my service sucks down here.
Because you sent me the TikTok of the two thieves, then you pull it off.
Yeah, and so that's what I want to kind of want to talk about
today. I'll ignore it.
That's my boy. Let's go. Yeah, Abram was very disciplined, both physically, mentally, and even spiritually.
I found it.
His name is what's the name of this guy? Cliff Nextel. I don't know how to say it.
Okay.
Well, it is.
Well, Pastor Cliff, bro. Looks
like Pastor Cliff. Let's just call him Pastor Cliff.
So you sent me that video, and I was thinking about it, you know? And, you know, I'd be thinking about my TikToks, bro. It's like constantly, like, it's either Christian TikTok or Hopecore. Like, you know, like the Kevin Laverone videos.
Yeah.
Where it just shows him, like, going through it, but he's working out.
Yeah.
So it's one of the two. I can't avoid it, bro. And so I was thinking about it, and I'm like, man, I'd be thugging it out often, just saying. But
yeah.
You know, like I saw a video where someone was talking about Christianity, and they were like, oh, you know, and I hated it. It was this an Indian guy, I think, mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, you know, when you're Christian, you don't feel any sadness, you know, it's constant happiness, constant peace. And I'm like, and they're like, no one understands until you accept Christ. But when you accept Christ, you don't feel any pain. I'm like, it kind of struck me odd. I was like, I think there's two types of Christians.
Uh-huh.
I think there's the Christians who live peaceful lives because of Christ. And I think there's the Christians who have peace in their lives because of Christ. Like, yeah. You know, there's those who say, I have a happy, great life because of Christ, but then there's others, and you know, and the Christians of the latter side, it's like, we have 99 reasons to give up, but one reason to keep going.
All right.
And I hate when people say, oh, when you're a Christian, you're finally at peace, you're finally happy.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. Like, you know, yes, Jesus said, I give you the peace that the world doesn't give you.
Right.
But we know that there's happiness after this.
Yeah.
But during the life of, you know, a Christian,
mm-hmm.
Like I said, there's Christians who live peaceful lives because of Christ, and those who have peace in their, like, that's the only peace they have whenever they remember, oh, I have my, that's the only times they have peace, you know, 99 right. reasons to give up, one to keep going.
So cute. It's like kind of that's like the ebb and flow of being a Christian at the end of the day. It's like
you're either or. Like, you yeah. know, you're either I live a peaceful life because of Christ, or the only reason I have peace in my life is because of Christ.
It's like you have no other option but yeah. to have find peace
you know?
In Christ.
I'd be thugging it out because, well, you know the memes, the cure to to male loneliness, a relationship with Jesus Christ.
It is. Amen. Abram's always sending me those kind of TikToks. Abram's like, Abram, you should start your own church, bro. Like, you're
dude,
like,
to
you're
be
like
honest,
a church on your path. Oh, you should go on live on TikTok and just You know how those people, I see those all the time. I just report, not, I don't report them, but you know how you can hold on and just say not interested. There's like pastors, like that one guy that I sent you. There's like, he's like, I got like, that's sweating. Like, it looks like he's having a seizure. Like there are pastors that go on there, not pastors, but people that just go on there and just try to debate, just to debate. But it's not really like, they don't try to find common ground. They don't try to actually preach. It's more like, haha, I'm right and you're wrong.
Yeah. I hate people who get on TikTok live and they're like, debate me, I'll prove this. Yeah. I'm like, bro, that.
Like, you see it both in Islam and Christianity. Or believers.
It's interesting to debate, but like, it should be discussion, not arguing.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah. Well, the topic for today, that brief preliminary discussion that we have, I think will launch us to our next, or to the main topic, the main event, which is a very common dilemma, very common debate, a question that rises, which is, do your works save you? Are you saved through works or are you not? And so this is kind of like that one video that guy was talking about, like about Jesus. I'm like, how they two, criminals.
Is that the inspiration for this video?
Kind of, yeah. But like, there was something. So, okay, let's backtrack just a little bit so people can be kind of like up to date on what you and I have been kind of like talking about.
It'd be cool if like you get to the point in this podcast where you like do something, then you put in a sound effect like a rewind sound.
That'd be very cool, yeah. No, like, so you know how you were talking about like, oh, or, okay, like, the people that believe in Jesus Christ, I'll be careful with the wording here. The people that believe in Jesus Christ will be judged according to the gospel, Romans 2:12. Yes. The people that believe in the law and live under the law will be judged under the law. And the people that live without a law will be judged according to their conscience. Mm-hmm. And throughout that discussion that we had with other people, like your daddy and other people from our church, you brought up, and I think it was you, I don't know how it got brought up, but you brought up Jesus being on the cross in his final moments.
I brought that up.
Yes. Abram, in your wisdom, you're like the modern day Solomon. So you brought up Jesus, and to set basically the scenario for the people that, whether you're religious or not, whether you read the Bible or not, I'll set up the scenario for you. Jesus Christ is in his last moments of his life on the cross, and beside him, on both sides actually, to his right and to his left, there are two thieves or two criminals. One of them mocks him. He's like, hey, miracle boy. I see that guy, the pastor, said, like, miracle boy, why don't you just get yourself down and get us down and save us if you really are, you know, like, son of God or whatever. And then the other guy was like, nah, bro, like, stop. Like, chill, yo. Like, you shouldn't be saying that kind of stuff. And
he said, chill, bro. That's like in the like new international version, it's like, chill out, dog.
Yeah, like, and so that's basically what he said. And the guy's like, nah, like, I can imagine like the guy being stubborn, like, nah, like, screw you, bro, like, whatever. And then he's like, whatever, he, like, just turns and looks at Jesus, like, remember me whenever you go into your paradise, and when you enter your paradise. And so that is one of the, I guess, primary and major examples that people use
when
to
they say that.
Reinforce that you don't need works to be saved, right, according to them, because he wasn't baptized, he didn't go to church.
That's always that one, you know, oh, he didn't get baptized, so that means we don't need baptism for salvation.
Right. And that's another one, too. Like, is baptism necessary for salvation?
Let's put are we considering baptism under works or not?
Well, damn.
That would be a work, right?
Baptism, yes, it is a work because it is like a public profession of your faith.
So should we keep baptism out of this topic or within it?
I think we can keep it within it, sure.
Okay, without falling because too deep into it.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, baptism is... you're baptized through faith. You understand why you want to get baptized because of faith.
But it's an act. It's something you have to do. It's still an act. You have to go out of your way.
I mean, Jesus says in John 3, he is born, not born of water and spirit cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And then later on in John 3:7, I believe he says, I don't know the Bible like that. I know. He says, you must be born again. And whatever. But what do you think, Abram? Do you think that works, you know, that it's, I don't know, man, it's an interesting topic. Do you think we're saved by works, or do you think works play a part in our salvation, or works don't matter at all?
Look, I've gotten into discussion with several people before, and it's interesting, they always use the thief on the cross, you know. Yeah. He didn't have works, he didn't have this, he didn't have that. But like that video with the pastor said, if he in that moment he was saved by grace,
yeah,
purely by grace. Uh-huh. But if he would have had the chance to get off that cross, what would have been the first thing he did? He would have gone and found Peter and the disciples. The other he disciples, would have gone yeah. and, you know,
worship Jesus worship or something. Jesus, yeah.
Understand what Jesus was, what he did, you know, yeah. why he came. Understand.
Worship God.
You
yeah.
know, listen to Paul's sermons, the one from Acts 2, you know.
He That's
would
Peter.
Get
yeah.
baptized. Uh-huh. Peter, I mean. He would get baptized because that's what Peter told him to do. You know, repent. And be baptized yeah. in the name of wow, Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's literally the first mandate that Jesus, uh-huh. that Peter as an apostle gives to the followers of Christ. The yeah. first mandate.
Yeah. So, like, I think... I know we're not going too much into baptism, and so a lot of it, like,
let's just use it as a proof, like an evidence.
Yeah, like kind of like one of those pillars to back up what we're gonna say. Right. But there was something. Oh, what was I gonna say? So, of course, a lot of people argue that, and I think the easy way just to kind of debunk that is like, hey, like at the end of the day, you know, like we're talking, like somebody said, like whenever we're talking the other day, what was it, Monday? Last Monday we're talking about that. They were saying,
this Monday.
Yeah, they were saying, oh, who I forgot who it was. Was it, I don't know if it was your dad. Who somebody said, what was it? That, like, hold up. I'm trying to retrace my steps. I'm trying to put this into better words.
You want me to keep talking while you retrace?
Hold up. So it's like baptisms. Okay, so like going back to that, like, they were saying, like, oh, you know, he was saved by not, like, oh, okay, I remember now. you remember how you were saying, like, oh, what about the people that, like, are good and don't know anything about the gospel or maybe know a little bit? But weren't the best Christians, but at the last minute they decided to live a good life and repent and whatnot. Like, are they saved? Is that the question that, you know, comes into play? And that's like kind of, I think it comes back into like, are they saved by faith and grace or are they saved by works? And so going back to the, what's it called? The criminal, the thief, whether, I don't know if it was a thief, probably he was criminal. Let's just say he was a criminal. Mm-hmm. Going back to the criminal, I mean, at the end of the day, the reason he was saved, as your dad would say, because the guy, the dude who the testament was about, Jesus Christ himself being the fulfillment of that testament, was there and saved him. But after that, and the, you know, law's over and the grace kicks in and then you have baptism implemented as a requirement for salvation.
You could say that was the first act of grace recorded within, like, the first act within the new pact, because... You know, the pact was, you know, the sheep, the lamb has to die, and yeah. his blood has to be shed.
Uh-huh.
You know, his blood was being shed at that moment. And of course, yeah. when his death came was when the, what do you call it? The
veil?
The veil.
The veil, yeah.
That's when the veil
the synagogue of the temple.
But, you know, you could say the pact was already starting in that moment. Uh-huh. So it could have been the first act within the, you know,
yeah.
the times of grace.
Uh-huh.
But it's just like... I mean, you have to remember, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. You have to remember, he had the authority to tell Peter, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What mm-hmm. you tie on earth will be tied in heaven. What you untie on earth will be untied yeah. in heaven.
Uh-huh.
So if Jesus had the authority to give it to Peter, that means he had the authority himself, right?
Right, yeah. John 17 says.
What Jesus said was done, you know? What did God in English? What did he say when the Holy Spirit descended like a dove when Jesus was baptized?
That's my son in which I have all of my contentment.
Exactly. Yeah, he was basically saying, yeah. "Hey, bro, what my son says, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like it's I have sent him with my message." You have to remember, it says in 2 Corinthians, God was reconciling us with him through Christ.
That's true.
So what God said, the acts he did, it was the acts that God had sent him to do.
And so, and I think that's just to like kind of debunk that one, because of course, there are a lot of other points to kind of unravel, but at least that main point that people kind of start out with.
I've heard that one often, but it's like, we know that he didn't have that opportunity. He turned his life to Christ in his last moments. He put his full faith.
Yeah.
In Jesus and his power. But, I mean, Jesus said, because of his faith, he was saved.
Yeah.
Because of his faith.
That is true. Yeah. Now you just talk about faith. Oh, man, I like that. Good transition. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved," amen, "through faith. And that not of yourselves." I'm reading the NASB 1995 version translation. "It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." So far, I think this one's, I know there's another one in Romans, but Ephesians, a lot. I remember when I was at Wingate, dude, a lot of people would say, and even to this day, a lot of people, like, I know a lot of people on social media that I have on social media that say, oh, you're saved only by grace and not by yours. 2:8:9 And so I remember I had a buddy of mine, shout out to her, she listens to this podcast, probably she won't, but there's like ASMR, bro. Well, okay. I'll fall asleep to that. So it's like, and so I remember we'd always talk about this, like, oh, like, you're saved by grace, doesn't matter what you do. I was like, okay, then I'll just be a murderer and a thief, and I don't want to go too, you know, too I don't want to get too gruesome or graphic, but it's like, yeah, I'll be all this, but, you know, as long as, you know, I still believe in Jesus, then I'm good, because my works don't matter. Mm-hmm. But then I'm reminded by, and I think maybe our you know, the gears are working in your head, James 2. Let me pull it up right quick. I wish I had my actual physical Bible. James 2 says, oh my God. James 2:14-26. So James here, the Apostle James. So it's more like, okay, now we're beginning to kind of dissect and discern the scripture. Paul writes to the brothers in Ephesians, and the Ephesians, sorry, he writes to the brothers in Ephesus. Like, yeah, you guys, don't worry about works. Well, he doesn't say that exactly. It's like, you guys are saved by faith. You guys are saved by grace because of faith.
Because James was very, like, huge. It's like almost an inspirational talk. Like, the entire book of James is almost like an inspirational talk.
And so, like, then you have James, like, I don't know how long he wrote it. Okay, much later.
Well, let's take a step back to Ephesians. Right. Because I've actually stepped into that ring before. People use a lot of verses in Ephesians to back up the thing about works.
Yeah.
And it's funny because in the very first book of Ephesians, Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, and here's the kicker, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, I think Paul said it. What do you say about the rich man?
Who? Jesus?
No, I think it was Paul. It might have been Jesus. He said, if the rich man with difficulty is saved.
Jesus? Because Jesus talks about it.
Okay, and then I'm sure Paul backs up. Paul, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, can you wake up every day and claim, okay, here, what's the definition of holy?
I mean, just in simple, lamest terms, like, one could say being free of sin. Like, you know,
No. You have the wrong definition, my friend. Search up holy right now.
No, I just said it in simple and lamest terms.
That's the issue. That's my issue. People mix up the definition of holy all the time.
Holiness, to be exact, the state of being holy, if you want to go down by that definition.
No. Okay, you can't use definition, the word to describe it.
What?
Okay.
You told me to search it out.
Okay. Who gave you that definition, bro? You got to be kidding me.
Hold up. The quality or state of being holy.
What dictionary are you using?
Merriam-Webster.
I just went to Oxford language, bro. Okay, look.
I mean, too. Instead of being holy.
Dedicated or consecrated to God or religious purpose. Sacred. Mm-hmm. So holy isn't the state of being holy. Okay, holy isn't, I'm a good person, I believe in God, mm-hmm. you know, blah, 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 so I'm holy. Holy is, I may mess up all the time, but I am dedicated to God. I am consecrated to God. Holy it's not even a state. It's more of an attempt. Because of the definition, being dedicated to God. For example, you know, you have a temple. Mm-hmm. You say, this temple is holy. This temple isn't holy because, you know, let's not say because God roams in it. This temple isn't holy because, you know, you put up, you know, a decoration of the Bible. It's not holy because people show up.
Or because there's a pulpit.
Yeah, whatever. Uh-huh. It's holy because it's being used to serve God, just as each one of us. Mm-hmm. We are holy because we base our lives to serving God. And that's what it literally says. He has chosen us to be holy.
All right, let me ask you a question then. Under that standard that you just established yourself, which is being, you know, being devotional and consecrated, sacred. I mean, I think at the end of the day, there's dissonance, but I'll explain in a bit. Under your standard, I'm not trying to say like a personal attack. Well, let me ask you first question. Do you attempt to be, you know, holy? Like,
no,
do you try
you
to
know,
be
I've
like,
always holy? Said it. I think I've messed up a lot of my life. I'll be honest, uh-huh. you know.
Yeah.
Recently, you know, life's just, I've been thugging it out, but I be thugging it out through Christ. You
and
know?
I would assume like,
my
you
dog.
Know. like not trying to be biased, like, you know, as a friend, I would say, yeah, you know, like,
you know, I feel like recently
you do the know, you make yeah, the attempt
honestly,
to be
ever
homely.
Since I got out of high school, just I've realized how separated the world is from God. You know, I make mistakes, but I'm working to do better.
Super cute. And so, like,
so yes, so under that standard, I do believe I attempt to dedicate myself
but
to
you,
God.
We
know that as humans, you know, mm-hmm. as Paul said in Romans 7, I want to not sin, but something right. within me forces me to sin. It drives me to it.
So going back to, because this is important to define what holiness is, and
yes.
I feel like you saying the attempt to be of being what you said devotional,
dedicated and consecrated to God.
I mean, it leaves a lot of cracks, you know, for one to slip through. What I mean by that is, like, look, I can attempt to be, for example, I curse a lot. I have a problem with cursing.
You know,
myself.
I've gotten a lot better, but dude, I'd be at the gym. I'd be
you're
cursing.
Like, oh, that pre-workout, bro. It's just
out, like,
dominates you.
Father.
No, that, I have a problem. That's my,
you know,
that's one of my struggles.
I'd be quoting, like, it's funny because, like, you know, I'll quote a Bible verse. Like, like, I love Isaiah, I think it's 41:10. It might be 40:10. You know the verse where David talks to Goliath? In uh-huh. Spanish, I know it by memory. Yeah. Like, I'll say it, and then right after that, I say, like, the F word. Like, it's like, you know,
bro.
What do you call it, juxtaposition?
Yeah, it's like, man, I shouldn't even be juxtaposing, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I say it, I'm like, F word, that's raw, you know, and then I do.
No, but it's like, going, it's like, for me, if I were to play that standard of holiness, I wouldn't consider myself holy, because then, like, you know, Paul says, like, he writes, I think, or is it? And Revelations talks about it, too, the ones that basically... Well, I don't want to go down that road because people are like, oh, you know, you can still be holy and whatnot. It's like, for me, I mean, at the end of the day, vulgarity is vulgarity.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, whether you're religious or not, it's not proper. And so and now whenever you look like religious, like, who goes up there and curses on a pulpit?
Oh, of course.
Like, nobody
okay,
does
okay.
it. Why?
And
because it's holy.
And that's the difference that I make. I think each person that attempts to make their life closer to God, but truly attempts, not like someone who puts mm-hmm. a Bible verse in their Instagram bio and then, you know.
Yeah, bro, just go ahead and see my name. Just go ahead and see my Instagram username.
You know?
Yeah.
But when someone's actually holy, like, you know, holy doesn't mean you're perfect. When someone actually dedicates mm-hmm. their life to God, or they attempt to, they're holy. They're not perfect because mm-hmm. no one's perfect, you know. No one's good.
Yeah.
You know, no one's perfect. But you are holy because God knows we make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
He you know, he understands, bro. He a real one. But
yeah.
you know, we're not perfect, but we are holy because we're dedicating ourselves to God.
Okay.
Even though there's faults, even though there's mistakes, you know, you when you paint something, you're obviously gonna mess up somewhere, you're gonna stain
yeah.
something where you don't want.
So I guess you're at church today at church, what are you also showing me? I don't know if you've seen how they kind of like, it's like they grab a spatula and just kind of scratch it.
Yeah.
Kind of scratch
yeah.
it and like kind of makes, gives that the texture.
Right.
Like, I think I did like straight like that, like on the wall.
Right.
And scratched the actual wall.
Oh my God.
Crap, I'll fix it. Yeah, they noticed, but like, you know, it's like whatever, you know,
yeah,
just
yeah,
like, whatever.
Today I was, you know, the term for finishando is mudding.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I think that's
finishando.
That's,
but what did you think
so
it's finishing?
I imagine.
Finishando is not a word. There's no way that's a word.
I don't know, but I imagine, you know, oh, they in English they say finishing. You know, like
finishing,
it's,
yeah.
it's the salsa and they say the uh-huh. soso. It's kind of, I imagine it was finishing and they say finishando. Okay.
Yeah.
But so today I was mudding and, like, I used an example, you know, I finished, I had to do like a block. It was like maybe a foot and a half wide and it was like maybe 2 feet long.
Yeah.
And I finished mudding it and I saw a part where I shouldn't have touched it up again. But I was like, I don't like it. I'm gonna do a soft touch there.
Uh-huh.
And I made because there was a little piece of trash on my spatula, it made a line from the start to the end. And I didn't even realize it.
That's what I did. I had lines on
yeah,
the wall.
And it's kinda like that, you know? Sometimes we you know, you keep pushing forward, but no mm-hmm. matter what, somewhere you're gonna mess up.
That's the beauty of grace right there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And but that's my point.
So we're saved by that.
We're,
you
we're
know
made, yeah, yeah. We're but we were called to be holy.
Yeah.
If we're not holy, then there's no point in Jesus' death.
So I have when I take sermons, I'm gonna ask you a question. When I take sermons, I always have, like, tomorrow I have to give a sermon. Like, God help me because I'm not even prepared myself, like, spiritually.
Oh, you have tomorrow.
Yeah, dude. And so when I have to give prayers or give sermons, I'm always nervous, dude. I think
I'll be
of.
I'm up there sweating, bro. I can feel my undies.
I get panic attacks locking, dude.
I can feel
dude,
my
right?
undies, like, you know, my my private area start spilling out little drops.
Back. No, hold up. And so, like, I get nervous, and like, so, but whatever. When I structure my sermons, I always use a famous what, who, where, why, and how. I always, that's how I structure it. Like, okay, like, if there's, like, a main point tomorrow, is that we're talking about, like, the willingness to give, generosity almost, liberality, yeah. To be exact.
It'd be liberality.
Liberality. Liberality. Liberality. Liberality. Fanatics, man. Chill. No, I don't even know how to say it. Liberalism. Nah, that's something else. Going back to that, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, so it's like talking about this. Like, okay, how. Like, how can I be, you know, more generous, more giving, more willing to give? So my question to you would be, having said that, how can I be more holy then?
You do what's asked of us. You live the way we live our lives according to the teachings of Christ, not what we think.
All right.
Is going to lead us closer to Christ.
Yeah.
According to what we.
That's why we have a lot of denominations.
I know, and you know, and I. It's interesting because I always say the same thing. Back to what I was saying, you know, way before. Every time I get into this discussion, I say, if we don't need works to be saved, what is the point of the Pauline letters?
Right, that's true. Why are you scolding them?
If there is no point, if we don't need works to be saved, then why would the Apostle Paul say, you aren't doing this, you aren't doing that, you have to do this, you have to do that? He reprimands them because they weren't following the teachings.
It's like the fruits of the Spirit. Like,
exactly.
That's a good one.
What would be the point of Paul, you know,
reprimanding, scolding the Corinthians.
Dudes, bro, the Corinthians?
No, like whenever he writes, I think,
you know, like the TikToks say, you know, the Corinthians receiving a letter from Paul. Like, yeah. Like, bro, I'd be, you know,
so I think I've told you this before. I've told a few of my friends about this before. It's really interesting. So Corinthians, historically, it's believed, through what I've learned.
Oh, there was a second one.
Yeah,
they got rid of because it was too heartbreaking.
Well, I don't know if
it
was
funny because
I did my own research.
I
think they might have lost it or something.
Yeah, I did my own research on it, and they say that there could be up to four letters of Corinthians.
Oh, you need of three.
And, yeah, and it's because the first of Corinthians isn't even believed to be the first one. It's simply, okay, let's say they were lost, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and I know, and I feel like people, let's before people use this as a thing to say, oh, so the Bible isn't perfect.
Right,
well, yeah. We have to realize that Corinthians were horrible, dude. They were a horrible church.
Like, you had this one guy that was like fornicating with all these people, bro.
And I'm pretty sure that's where the people came. They had those two guys that saying Jesus had already come for his people, so they were all screwed.
Oh, and then he had it right.
And then Corinthians were the 15 ones who said, I'm of Apollo, I'm of Christ, yeah. I'm of Peter.
That's when he started scoring. Yeah.
They were a very bad church. So, personally, I believe that the letters that didn't make it into the Bible by Peter were meant only for the Corinthians. Like,
oh, by Paul, you mean?
The reprehension, oh, yeah, by Paul. The reprimand that they received there was meant for them and only their knowledge.
Yeah, I think
there
was...
Because it must have been just so much. It must have been, to an extent, you know, it was just heartbreaking because... I mean, the Apostle Paul was a strong man, you know. He was strong worded, you know.
Yeah.
But
so it's like going like back to that. So it's like from what I've heard and from what I've studied, but the book, it's called Paul by N.T. Wright. You should really read into that. N.T. Wright is, I believe,
is
like
told me to read
it. Yeah, he has his doctorate. He's like, Oxford. You know, he teaches at Oxford and whatnot. Pretty credible guy, in my opinion. Yeah, I don't know how that thing just turned on its own.
Turn on that fan just turned on its own.
Yeah,
right?
I saw it. Yeah,
that freaked me out.
That's kind of weird.
I watched The Nun 2 the other night. I was like,
what the heck? That's weird, bro.
Last night I could have sworn there was something sitting in my corner, bro. I was like, hey, bro, she looked kind of good in the movie.
Is that painting up there, bro? It looks like that looks demonic. Who's that supposed to be? Juice World?
No, it's Jose Onfroy.
I don't even know who that is. I don't know.
The guy who died in Florida.
X Temptation. That's Marcus's idol, bro. This is God.
Yeah,
okay.
R.I.P. Marcus.
So it's like with the Corinthians, according to like Paul, like N.T. Wright. According to N.T. Wright, when he writes about Paul, he talks about how I think it was him. How there was a so First of Corinthians was okay. First of Corinthians. So Second of Corinthians, the one that we currently have today in our hands and in mm-hmm. our Bibles, that was actually supposed to be third of Corinthians,
right? Because he says several times the letter that I wrote to you before, and like he apologized for his hard words.
Because as he said, it was harsh. It was heartbreaking in a way.
Think about it. Think about the things that they did in those two letters. Like, imagine what they had to be doing for it to be so heartbreaking.
Just what we have for the Corinthians and the books that we have now is like, dang. Like, and so 2 Corinthians 10 is when he actually, a lot of scholars believe that 2 Corinthians 10, when he says, "Now I, Paul, myself urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ," etc., etc., that chapter is part of
the
2 Corinthians, the one that got lost.
Uh-huh.
And they added it to the actual 2 Corinthians that we have today.
Okay,
which would be 3 Corinthians, technically.
Okay, so devil's advocate, and you know, if you're struggling to believe in Christ, don't listen to this part. But do you believe that, you know, that letter was it was done that way by the Corinthian church? Do you think it was done that way by the Vatican when they had control of the
Vatican? I don't even think any of this two would matter, because I feel like there could be a lot of other factors and variables that dictate at the end of the day why some parts of the scripture weren't letters, because like, so whenever like Apostle Paul,
the Laodiceans letter,
yeah, there we go, like when he writes to the Colossians and the Laodiceans, he was like, I think he told them to switch. And the Galatians would give their, but we don't know what happened to that letter. And I don't think it's, because there are things like in councils and the councils, like Council of Nicene and so forth, that were kind of like saying like, hey, let's just leave these out.
I hate that people use those councils to say, oh, you know, this is where Christianity was changed.
Oh, yeah. And I hear this guy on TikTok on live, like a Catholic saying like,
I'm like, bro, grow up.
No. And so I think, but I think that's not the same as like the, books that were left out, like Ezra's and all the other books. There's Ezra and Esdras.
Books.
The Maccabees, your favorite one.
Okay, I like the Maccabees. Okay, but those aren't considered apocryphal books. They're considered deuterocanonical books.
Mm-hmm.
They're books that are like in the Catholic Bible, and they're not used by the Protestant churches or whatever, because they don't fit the canon of the Bible. That's literally the reason why.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're good. Those books have nothing to do with whether you believe in Christ or not. They're just kind of, you know, stories. You know, there's not really anything. I mean, and you know, I talked about this one time with Oswald. I'm like, the Maccabees doesn't fit the canon of the Bible because they lose. You know, they die. God never comes to save them. Like after their death, I'm sure they received their reward. But like. Yeah.
But Hebrews 11 actually talks about that too.
About the Maccabees,
didn't it?
Right?
Not specific about the Maccabees, but it talks about like the people that basically died and had no rescue.
Yeah, had no rescue. Uh-huh. I try not to touch up. I mean, it's just those are books that they don't really matter if you read them or not. They're nice stories, like Baruch.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know Sierra's told me several times that it's a good book to read. I've never read it.
I think a lot of, if I'm not mistaken, that's like prominent in like within Judaism, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
it probably
is.
Baruch.
I know
the Book of Enoch. Wow.
I don't touch up on that.
I heard it's interesting.
Do you want to talk about it, bro?
No, I don't know much about it. I cannot talk about it. We can talk about it another day. Let's read it and then we can talk about it.
No, we can't read it, bro.
What's going on?
Dude, it's a horrible book to read. It'll make you question like your faith. It'll make Nah, for real.
Why do you say that?
Like, you want me to tell you some stuff that people get out of that book?
What?
Okay, look. The first time I ever read it kind of freaked me out. The first time I ever got interested in the book of Baruch was
or when, Enoch.
Enoch was when in is it Judas in English as well?
Yeah.
Before Revelations, he mentions the book of Enoch.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's something that they read in the Septuagint, which is the term that they use for the Bible that Jesus read. So that means that they used the book of Enoch.
Uh huh. Did you still use it to this day?
The only issue is that the Book of Enoch talks about the Nephilim. It talks about, you know what the Nephilim are?
No, what is that?
Okay, so the Nephilim is this theory that after the fall of Satan, the angels, the fallen angels, mm-hmm. fell on earth.
Right.
And they were like, they still had power.
I've heard of this.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. you know, and they're the people who taught civilization, you know, medicine, sacred geometry, astrology.
Wow.
Like people say that the Nephilim are the ones who helped the Egyptians built the pyramids.
Uh-huh. That's funny. That's funny.
And they, and you know, there's even theories that the Nephilim are still around today, and they're secretly in control of the world.
Boy.
And there's also, you know, the
that sounds like a conspiracy theory.
But I mean, it's because it's all references back to.
It's like
to
when people say aliens like, built the pyramids.
Or kind of like, or, okay, and like it says that demons are actually the aliens are actually demons.
Boy, what the?
Yeah, and it, you know, it talks about a lot of stuff, and you're like, it's like if this is real, like. It doesn't really matter for salvation, but it's like, oh my God, like the world looks completely different now if all this is
true. Hey, you guys don't read that book. Please do not read that book. I mean, no, I'm not saying like, do not be ignorant.
It's interesting, but the thing is that, you know,
there are things
that the reason why it's an apocryphal book is because Enoch was written, there's parts of Enoch that were written thousands of years, like they're dated thousands of years apart, like, you know. So I do believe at one point there was a book of Enoch that wasn't, you know, drastically changed. But now the Book of Enoch that people have has like was changed by different authors and stuff.
Scary, bro.
I don't talk like if you see TikToks about the Book of Enoch, please skip, bro. You will go insane. Like
curiosity killed the cat.
I am a victim, bro. Trust. Yeah. Like curiosity killed the cat.
No,
for real, bro. Like
kind of want to read it now. No, I'm curious,
I got
bro.
Interested in it, and then I'm like, oh my God, this is not okay. Like it, like I'm saying, don't read that book, bro. It affects. It messes with your head. Let's go back to the topic,
okay. So
bro.
Like works. So, going back to holiness, you were talking about holiness. Oh, yeah. You brought up Ephesians 1, verse 4. How do you become holy, though?
You do the works that...
works, been, wow.
That
have been,
you know, you remember, it's like the verse that Paul says, you know, faith without works
that's
is
James,
dead.
That's James, 2:16,
you know?
Yeah.
James says, or faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
Because that's how it is. Or like, you know, you think about it, how is faith built? Faith, you know, Romans, what is it, 7, whatever. Faith is built by this in... to by hearing the word of God.
Oh, yeah,
correct?
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
These are actions. James, these are things you do. Paul told them, do this, do that, live peaceful lives, you know, bow to Christ, you know.
Be considerate of the ones that are, like, new in the faith.
Do not bury the non-Jewish, the Gentiles.
Like
insignificant things, just like things that we should do as human beings, which they are. They are. Yeah. Christ is literally the path, the way. We become good human beings by doing what? Christ set down, you know, you help your neighbor, you love your neighbor, you do all this
love
stuff.
Love thy neighbor as you love thyself.
Mm-hmm. But these are acts that you do.
Right.
I mean, now if we put it on the contrary, you know, it's like, you know, there's acts that drive us away from God as well. Yeah. Like, you know, like if we use the thing where, you know, if you judge someone, you will be judged by the same.
The way you judge, yeah, basically, yeah.
It's an act that seems standard. That sets limits on you. And in the same sense, acts will build up your connection to God. That's literally how it works. And this is where, you know, I want to put in baptism. You know, I asked someone this once, and they were kind of left confused.
Yeah.
They were genuinely left confused. I'm like, and I was in an argument about the Trinity. But I'm going to ask you, why did Jesus have to get baptized? Jesus was the Son of God, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
Jesus was going to die for our sins. He was going to go to heaven. He was going to receive all glory. He was the Son of the Creator.
Ultimately, from my perspective, it is to leave a teaching, of how things should be done for salvation, because that's what Christ did. Christ said, I do not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it.
So then you
enter into two arguments. Or two laws, like the law of Moses, but also the law, you know, that they would, like, the, you know, the Jewish law, but also laws like, you know, that he would come and die and whatnot. Luke 24:44, when he talks to the disciples going to Emmaus, the village of Emmaus. But as he was doing that, and this is obvious, everybody knows this, as he was doing that, fulfilling that, he was also leaving teachings. John 3, when he also got baptized yourself, as you mentioned, he says basically this two, I leave you with two new commandments, or two commandments, not new, but with two commandments, basically love God. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind and strength, soul of you, whatever you want to add on there. But second one is you shall love thy neighbor as you love thyself. Mm-hmm. Paul later says the law is summed into this one commandment, that you shall love thy neighbor as you love thyself. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, Jesus did all of this. The life of Jesus served as a teaching for us to emulate, for us to aspire to be like. So to answer your question, I understand it to be Jesus got baptized. As you said, he's the Son of God. He was holy. But
he didn't need it, correct?
I mean... he did. So this is interesting because I'm thinking about it. Because, like, you know how it says that Jesus, as he like as he got older and he grew, he became more wise.
He became wiser.
He became wiser, yeah. And so it lets us understand that at some point he might have not understood really when he was a kid, like what the will of God was until he got older.
I had this discussion with Josue recently.
Changuita. But like I think going back with the like baptisms, like,
okay,
we'll like yes, he's holy, but like at the end of the day, like to answer your questions, it was for teaching.
Did he need to get baptized?
To answer, okay, because I'm thinking about it. I know what you're asking me.
Joker has?
Yeah, like, because you're saying, like,
a little battery comes out, like, and it's, like, got you on it.
That's, like, when you ask, the, right because now. It's a vague question to begin with, and I can take it two ways.
Gotcha.
Like, did he need to get baptized for what? That's for why did he need to get baptized? Or for what did he need to get baptized? Did he need to get baptized to implement a teaching? Yes. I mean, that because he knew how people would think and say,
Jesus didn't do it.
But your question is, he need to get baptized for salvation. Dude, this is the son of God you're talking about.
That's why I said, you know, he's the son of God. He didn't need it for salvation. Right.
So what would he need it for?
Why didn't he just say, you know, do this, you know, do that, get baptized? Why didn't he just baptize people and as he was baptizing, make it inferred to them that they needed it? Why did he need to get baptized?
I'm thinking about it. I mean, like, there are a lot of things. For example, it's more because I feel like you...
I'm looking for one word.
I know you are. And the thing is that it's more... It's more intricate than what you think, though.
I know it is more intricate than what I think. But
so it's hard to sum it into it because you got to cover all your bases.
I get that. But let me get my point across here. Mm-hmm. He needed it for the same reason that each one of us needed. You know, put aside forgiveness of sins. Put aside
for what?
All
I want to hear. I want to hear what you say. What you think of that? Of this then?
Obedience.
Of course.
He did it as an act of obedience to God. Right. The same as us. Mm-hmm. As us. You know, we can live our lives perfectly, do all the commandments of Christ, and you know, you can say you don't need baptism. But what did Jesus say?
Yeah.
You know, he who is not born of water and spirit will not
enter the kingdom of heaven. Yeah.
So it's literally all about obedience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jesus didn't need to his
I like where this is going.
For his sins forgiven.
Yeah.
He didn't need them forgiven. He didn't have sins. He was pure.
He went to the cross and took all those sins.
He didn't. He didn't need salvation because after his death he was going to be.
He was the author of salvation himself. Exactly. Yeah.
But he needed to do it as a sign of obedience to God, as it says in Hebrews 5:8, him being a son learned obedience.
Philippians as well says that he knew who was made a servant or whatever.
And it's the same for each one of us. You know, not wanting to make this a topic about baptism and why baptism is necessary for salvation, but he did it as an act of obedience to God. He could have just preached baptism. He baptized
people. Which he did preach baptism,
too. He did preach it. He baptized people, you know. And the same thing with John.
John the Baptist.
Yeah, he preached baptism. But my point here is... we had an intruder. He let my cat
My boy,
in.
Jacob, you want to say hi to the spot?
What do you want? What do you want, bro?
What do you want, Jacob? What do you want?
What do you want?
Do you have a charger? An extra charger?
Oh, my God.
Hey, you took mine to...
Dude, seriously?
You took mine over there.
Can you add sound effects? Like the sound effect goes, wham, 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 wham.
Probably could, but...
No, it's okay. It's a joke.
It'd take me longer.
There's a charger. No, Uciel has my charger.
Dang it, Uciel Isiderio.
Uciel Pina. He has both our chargers.
He lives down the street. Why don't you just go get it?
Yeah, go get it, bro. Go for a little run. Hey, bro, can you leave?
Unless you want to join our conversation the divinity of Christ.
Oh, let's not get into that.
Or the pre-existence of Christ. No. Wow.
Oh, baby girl. No, I don't have one. Steal. That was him touching my cat. Let's clarify. There are no women here. The only woman in my life is my cat.
Lily Thornhill?
Lily.
Who's that? Lily Thornhill. Shout out to you, Lily Thornhill. I doubt you'd ever listen to this, Lily Thornhill, but shout out to you.
My mom named her.
Dude, some girl.
can you be quiet?
Can you just going back to the topic of obedience.
Let him walk out first.
Salte, galletita.
You're not worthy of
this podcast. So it's like, yeah, I mean, Christ, of course. And I think, like, it's not even just baptism. It's like, you know, the life of Jesus Christ was the...
I didn't finish my point.
A pillar or an example. It was just exemplar, a model, exemplar model of obedience. Because, like, you know, when you want, like, when he, like, but I was like, I don't want to die. I don't want to die, God. But if you want it to be your will, then I'll do it.
Jesus never said... He was meant to be the good guy in the relationship. Like, let's be honest. He was the good... He was, like, good cop, bad cop.
Boy, how?
Listen. He never said, you have to do this. But
of course not.
But he did say, the kingdom of heaven is for those who do this. The kingdom of heaven is for those who do that.
Yeah.
But then you get the apostles, and they say, you have to do this if you want to be saved. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like good cop, bad cop. He kind of...
I mean... Apostles, though, they took the same narrative. It's like, Jesus is like, yes, if you want to do it, this is what you have to do. Like with the rich guy. It's like, if you want to follow me, you know, sell all your riches and give it to the poor and whatnot, and then follow me. And I think that's the same kind of narrative or rhetoric the apostles took. It's like, yes, if you want to go to heaven, you have to do this. But if you don't, that's on you. You know, God forgive us free will.
Yeah, but okay, back to my point here. Back to what I was saying. So Jesus did this out of obedience to God. He didn't have to do it. He didn't need to be saved. He didn't need his sins forgiven.
He did have to do it because it was part of the law.
He did have to do it because it was part of the law. He said himself, I am here to fulfill the law. He never said he was going to disband the law.
Shit.
He said he was here to fulfill it. So it's the same thing with us. Jesus said, you know, you have to be baptized. You have to be born of water. He never said, oh, when you're baptized, you know, this and that, you're gonna grow big biceps and your faith is gonna bam. No.
Yeah.
We do it out of an obedience to the word of God. Simple as that.
Yeah, because it's necessary for salvation.
And you have to remember, you know, Jesus left commandments.
Of course.
You know? It's what's the point of commandments?
To obey them.
To obey them. You know, obedience is literally you doing what you've been told to do. They're works. Faith without works is dead, and without
faith,
no one will see God. Does it or does it not say that?
Yeah, Hebrews.
Okay, and in the same sense, you know, who's gonna go to hell? You know, it literally talks about it. You know,
and Revelations, you know, and Corinthians as well.
People who will be condemned, they're, you know, murderers, thieves,
adulterers, fornicators, and stuff like that. Yeah.
So in the same sense, the kingdom of heaven isn't for those who didn't do anything.
And going back to that point, though.
I got it.
Hold on, let me get to this point. So it's like, but the thing is, Jesus is not an extremist. Jesus Christ is not an extremist
Hold that thought.
I'm going to reinforce what you're saying right now. It's that when you say, like, you know, the ones that will not enter heaven will be, adulterers, fornicators, murderers, thieves, and so forth. But that doesn't mean, like, look, let's say you're a fornicator, let's say you're an adulterer, let's say you're a murderer, let's say you're a thief. There's still hope for you. Like, and I think, and that's the work, though. That's the work of faith, repentance. Peter, Acts 1, 2. Like, you guys want to follow Jesus Christ? You guys feel bad for killing Jesus? Then repent and get baptized. And they did it through repentance. That was the work of faith. But I just say what you got to say, okay, bro.
Remember the example of the talents?
Yeah, the parable.
It's like a touchdown, bro.
Talk to me.
Okay. There was a guy with, what was it, 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. Get her to meow into the microphone, bro. I want her to meow.
I'm trying to get her to meow.
Meow. You think she'll meow at it?
Meow. Thornhill. Meow.
Meow. Oh, you can hear her purring. Baby girl. Okay. So think about it. There's a guy with 5 talents, I think. Guy with 2 talents and guy with 1 talent.
Yeah.
Well, the guy with 5 talents multiplies him. He gets 5 more talents. The guy with 2 talents, does it say he gets 1 more talent? I think it says he gets 1 more talent.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the guy with 1 talent, what did he do?
He hid it because he was scared.
He was scared.
He buried it.
He didn't do anything. He was taken away from the sight of the Lord, was he not?
Yeah.
So what do we get from this?
Wrap him up and throw him in the fire.
What do we get from this?
That he didn't obey.
The people he was disobedient. Work.
Oh crap. So yeah. So it's like another one epiphany moment for me. So Jesus Christ.
Y'all thought y'all had me.
Jesus was feeding all these people.
Remember that one meme with the black guy, the football player? Not gonna lie, they had us in the first half. That's what they're saying about us right now.
No, like Jesus Christ. Let me tell you guys a story about Jesus.
I am God's story. Soldier.
Me too. I'm just a private.
I said that in the last podcast.
Because
I
got Tita.
God, that gives me horrible memories.
Oh man, I can open this door, bro.
Sometimes it's hard to sleep at night, guys. The voices win.
Okay, guys. So Jesus Christ, I don't know where this is. Somewhere in the book of John.
Somewhere in the book of John.
He's like, he basically had fed. I think it's John 8. Hold up. I want to look for it. I'm not sure, guys. I'm not very biblical, but I just started going to church not too long ago. Nah, maybe not John 8.
Can I fart into the microphone?
Oh, boy. Is it John 8?
And it's crazy. I've never used that example before. Yeah, I'm going to use that example from now on. Okay, let me think about something. Oh, dude, I saw this thing on TikTok recently. So it's, you know, not to hate on Islam or anything. I love Islamic people. They're super chill. But have you ever heard of the apocryphal book of Barnabas? You know who Barnabas
was? I've heard of it, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's so annoying. The book of Barnabas, and this is what I hate about, not that I hate anyone or hate anything, because I'm a loving man, because I love Christ, and I love all things through Christ. But the thing that really ticks me off is that people who study the Quran don't study where Muhammad got all his ideas from. Like, you know how in the Quran it talks about, like, Jesus getting 12 birds, like, he makes 12 birds out of dirt and they become real life?
Yeah.
That book was getting from the infancy gospel of John. It's an apocryphal book, and it literally has that exact same story. And copycats. Okay, and the apocryphal gospel of Barnabas teaches that Jesus didn't die on the cross, and guess who impersonated him?
Some random guy.
No, Judas Iscariot.
Boy.
Guess who else teaches that?
Islam.
Yeah. And let's just stop and think for common sense.
I have a
sense.
Lot of Muslim friends, so mashallah.
Okay, yeah. Common sense for a second.
SubhanAllah.
Common sense for a second, right?
Yeah.
These apocryphal gospels, are they going to be accepted by, you know, average Christians?
Probably
no,
not.
They're going to be like, no, this isn't
like
true.
Like an Ocelio Pina Ruiz or like this a David Vasquez? Probably
this isn't
not.
True, bro. What are you talking about? Get this stupid book out of here.
Like Josué Salazar.
And guess what?
Like
guess what? That story, it probably moved away from, you know, the areas of Christianity. It moved to areas where Christianity wasn't practiced. So let's put ourselves in the year 400.
Yeah, 400. Yeah.
Rome owns all of Europe, you know, some of the Middle East, a lot going into
Russia.
And I think Christianity became the religion of Rome was like, what, 326?
325, yeah.
So afterwards, all these, they're referred to as Gnostic Gospels.
I've heard of these, yeah.
What do you think happens to those Gospels? It gets pushed apart. The stories are only continued by people outside of Rome's territory, such as the Middle East. Mm-hmm. This story gets around to, let's say, somewhere in Syria, modern-day Pakistan, around there, the Middle East.
Or Afghanistan.
Guess who lives there?
Who? Muhammad.
Muhammad. He hears this as a child. He's like, oh,
mashallah.
This
mashallah.
Must be true. This
Alhamdulillah.
You know, these Gospels came to me as I was a child, you know, because we're talking about the Gnostic Gospel of the infancy of John, the Gnostic Gospel of Barnabas, where it teaches that. And it's like, oh, so this is what happened. And people say that. And these books were these Gnostic books are dated to be like in 200 BC, you know, 2 to 300 BC.
Holy.
300 years, I mean 200 years after Christ, right?
Yeah.
But 300 years before Muhammad. Stories get around to Muhammad, he just copy and paste into the Quran. If you don't believe me, search it up, bro. You know, I really do believe that I was made to defend Christianity.
I mean, I was made to defend Christianity.
Sometimes,
I love my Muslim friends.
Sometimes I believe we need a third crusade.
What, bro? What? Okay,
we
go
don't
ahead.
Need a, we ne- okay,
going continue. Back to what I was saying. So, like John 6, actually, I was two chapters away. Ugh, John 6. It's a long chapter. If you guys want to read it, great. If not, let's just sum up the main point. So basically, Jesus fed thousands of people. Jesus fed about 5,000, if I'm not mistaken. He fed thousands 5, of people.
5,000 men, not including women and children.
Wow. That's why I said thousands. That's why I said
12,000 people. Jesus.
Thousands of people. And Jesus is like, all right, good. My work is done. And he starts leaving, but they start chasing him. And it's like, oh, bruh. And so Jesus gets on a boat and goes to the island of Capernaum. And and they start following him. And Jesus is like, bruh. And they get on boats and follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hold on, let me pull up the chapter.
He said, UGH, ugh.
Probably, bro, like, ugh. Like,
it was like this.
And he was like, all right, whatever, let's do this. And then Jesus gets tired of him. He's like, they're like, Rabbi, when did you get here? Like, Jesus is like, ugh, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, because you ate of the loaves and were filled. do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which is the Son of Man will give to you. For in him the Father God has set his seal. Work. So basically, this is what he's telling. I was like, yo, you got to work. And it's like, therefore, they said to him, they ask, these people ask, what shall we do? They're asking, like, what do you want us to do? An action. What action is it that you want us to participate, to partake of? What do you want us to do? What shall we do so that we may work the works of God? Oh, my God, works. Oh, my God, works, works, work. The word work is here in the Bible. Wow, in an interaction with Jesus Christ. And Jesus answered and said to them, don't worry about it because faith will save you. No, he didn't say that, guys.
No.
Jesus said, this is the work of God that you believe in whom he has sent.
OMG. You should have dropped the mic, bro.
Right. Like,
that was pretty raw, bro.
No, I don't want to break
him. You don't want to break him?
Like $16. You know, not
$16.
Bad.
$60. Dude, I thought $16 was a lot.
Nah. So basically saying, like, yes, work.
I'm broke, guys.
Work. But then, like, he says, believe. And people might say, oh, that's easy, just believe, accept Jesus Christ, and yes, you're saved in your heart, and you're good. But there's more when it comes to believing. As you had said,
it's always to say, and
baptism.
Okay, exactly.
Holy Spirit. Loving thy neighbor as you love thyself. How do you prove that you love your neighbor as you love thyself? You do it through actions. Like Abraham might say, I love you. But as James says, how can you say that you love God?
If you don't love your brother, Jesus.
That you actually, say that you love God that you cannot see? And don't love your brethren that you don't, that you see. Chill, bro. Chill out. Chill out. I love my church, bro.
My fault.
So,
you love it, bro.
I love God. I love Jesus. Ultimately, bro.
I love God. I love Jesus.
I mean, I don't know if you want to hit it.
413.
Beautiful. I don't know if you want to end it here. But, if you want to keep talking, I'm more than happy to keep talking. But
it's up to you, bro. It's early. It's not even 9 o'clock, bro.
Dude, I got to stay for my sermon tomorrow. Who's texting me?
Oh, you got to stay for your sermon.
Yeah, I had a timer on here.
Guys, come to Nathan's sermon.
Chill, guys. And so I think, look, everything just connects. 1 Corinthians 13, at the last verse, says that faith, love, and hope, you know, are needed. They're great. But over all things is love. And that's a commandment that Christ taught, you know, to love.
This is true.
You know, love God and love your neighbor.
Faith and hope will end one day, but love will never end.
That turns me on. And you said obedience. You got to obey. Obedience. When you obey the commandments of Christ, you know, you're fulfilling you're following Christ. But you're also doing it through works, and you obey.
And it's not to hate. It's not to hate on like Protestant churches and whatnot. But they're the ones who always bring up this freaking argument. You know, this Protestant, like Protestant falls like under. Is it? No, never mind. It might not. Protestant is just not Catholic or Orthodox churches. Ultimately,
correct, yeah.
Like you know, it's always the same argument with them, and it's like they don't study the Pauline letters at all. Mm-hmm. Like, have you ever felt that way? That churches nowadays just.
They're like, kind of like Muslims. Like, yeah, we're like they're kind of like the God. You know, we know about Jesus. Yeah, we believe in Jesus.
Oh, like going back to my Muslim point, you know, Muhammad does say believe in the Gospels, but
really?
We start to question what Gospels is he talking about. Is he talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or is he talking about the Gnostic Gospel of...
Like the Gospel of Mary.
Barnabas and the Gospel of Mary, the Gospel of Thomas, you know. Like,
very big.
Bro. Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay, but it's like, I say, well... Have you ever read the Pauline letter? It's like they stop at John. They stop at John and that's it. Like, bro.
At most, yeah.
Paul wrote so many commandments, you could say. It's like, you know, I know this term might be taken wrong, but the law, it's like, in my opinion, the law never really ended.
Oh my God, bro. Like, explain yourself. The law was,
you know, we no longer have to go through a high priest. You know, the veil was broken. You know, we can talk to God directly.
We don't have to sacrifice animals or anything of that nature.
But think about this. Think about this. Why is it that now we can eat pigs and all that?
Like pork and whatnot. Pork and all that. Because, I don't know.
Okay, let's step back a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Did the apostles start to eat pork right after Jesus' death?
That's a good question.
Yes or no? Yes or no? I have the answer. You don't. Yes or no?
If you have the answer, you better back it up with biblical verses
answer.
Because my answer is going to say no.
They didn't.
All right. Wait, hold up. Ask your question again. Let me make sure I understood it.
Okay, did the apostles
stop
eating pork and all that stuff right after Jesus' death? Say,
hold up, stop.
The law ended.
Stop.
Now I can eat
eating
pork.
Eating pork?
Yeah, you know how they couldn't eat pork? The Jews couldn't eat pork.
Yeah, pigs and like reptiles.
Whatever animals
stuff.
That it was that they couldn't eat.
They stopped.
Did they stop eating it right after that?
No.
Right after?
Wait, hold up.
Oh, like they didn't eat it.
No, hold up. I'm trying to understand your question. To answer your question, they didn't. They. Oh my God. They were abstained from eating that, and evidence of that.
Why? Why?
Because it was part of the law.
Because it was part of the law.
Yes.
So the law was abolished with Jesus' death, right?
Yes.
So did they stop eating it right after Jesus died? Did they start eating it? Were they allowed to eat it now?
I mean, yes, they were allowed to eat it, but okay. Did they stop? Did they abstain from they, it? They that's were, a better word to use, abstain.
Okay, did they abstain
from it? Yes, they abstained.
Okay. But if one of them was interested in it, could they have eaten it?
Of course. And there's biblical there's verses to back this up, like in the scenarios you're given.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But was it revealed unto them that they could eat it?
Yes, it was.
When Peter saw the vision, right?
Mm-hmm. Cornelius, Acts 10.
So now here's the question. Here's my thing. If God would have never given that revelation to Peter, we as Christians would continue to be teaching, don't eat pork. Not because of the Jewish teaching, simply because that's what the Christ followers of Christ did. In the moment when Peter saw that vision, we understood, oh, we can eat those things now because we don't live under a law of that extent.
And that's when Paul writes to the Galatians as well.
In that moment, it was when we realized. That's why I say, to a certain extent, the law never ended.
It did end, but...
No. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So what are you trying to say? Because
to a certain extent, it never ended because...
It did end.
We... Just try to be a little. I know it did end with the death of Christ.
It's polemical. What you're saying.
It's polemical. Just try to understand what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying, but
do we? Let's.
We don't practice the law.
Do we practice
the law of Moses? Of course, because Jesus summed it up and like love God. You shall love the Lord your God, and that was also part of the law.
Do we keep the Sabbath?
Boy, no.
Why not?
Because. It's part of the law. It's abolished.
Specifically. Be very specific here. Why are you back again? Bro, can't you live 10 minutes without your phone? Do you know how bad it is for you, bro?
Because Jesus Christ worked during the Sabbath to worship God. Yes.
That is
my dogging. God.
He's going to trip the cable. He's got to trip the cables, bro. You see what you do? Jacob, send Chicho upstairs, please.
Jacob, sale a ser por favor, salte.
Hey, send Chicho. He hasn't done his daily prayer, bro. Chicho needs to do his daily prayer.
Chicharito.
Send him upstairs, bro, please. Okay. We're in Josué's room for anyone who knows the layout of my house. We're in Josué's room. Hey, get him out.
Are you guys going to put him on Spotify?
Yeah, we are going to put him on Spotify.
Spotify Nathan Symposium. Following
that was my boy Chicho right there. Yeah, Nathan's Symposium. If you guys want to subscribe, like, subscribe, follow, whatever. No, Chicharito, no. All right.
Can someone get him out, please?
Yeah, get. Well, you'll subscribe once you get Chicharito out of here. Saca ese perro.
He doesn't obey you, bro. Pull him out, bro. Grab him from his collar and pull him out.
Hey, Eunice said hi.
Thank you. Okay, what was I saying before?
The Sabbath. You're obsessed with
it. Why don't we keep the Sabbath?
Because Christ worked during the Sabbath.
Exactly.
He worshipped God during the Sabbath.
Exactly. That's why we don't keep the Sabbath anymore.
Oh, but then Jesus, you know, didn't really fulfill the law, though. Because he said he didn't come to abolish it, but to fulfill it.
He completed the law. But there were parts of the law that no longer apply to us. That is why but each part of the law that we no longer follow, it was set within the Bible.
I mean, there's a lot of parts of the law. For example. I mean, you're right.
For example.
There's like over 400 commandments within the law.
It's like 634, I think. Yeah,
there's a lot, hundreds.
For example, and let's use our religion as a teaching. Mm-hmm. Let's use our religion. Well, our knowledge, our beliefs. Do women still have to wear the veil over their head, or whatever you call it?
According to Paul, yes. Paul gives a teaching about it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nonstop. Do they have to wear it nonstop?
Of course not. No, Paul specifically.
Why specifically?
When they're preaching, when they're...
Because Paul taught it. Paul taught specifically that we don't follow the law. We don't follow this part of the law. Every teaching that we have is... Every teaching of the law that we no longer follow was set apart.
So you're saying that like...
This is what people don't understand.
I'm
going to
debate you right now.
You're going to debate me? Okay. But this is what a lot of people don't understand. Because, you know, sometimes some churches, some people reference books of Leviticus as to why we don't do certain things.
That's true. They love referencing Leviticus.
I know. Do you believe it's valid?
I mean, to a certain extent.
No. Why to a certain extent?
Because some things we don't practice anymore. Like, you know, like there was, I was hearing something about like slavery. Like, bruh.
Yeah, because Paul literally says... To not be slave owners. Yeah. I know people say that, but like, there's a verse. I can't.
I wish I could pull it up right now, but I don't know it. But Paul literally refers to us not, we shouldn't be slave owners. He does, he does say those who have slaves treat them well.
Like Philemon.
Because when we're, what about, that was just the way that they were. Like, but he, there's a part where he specifies, if, like, do not be slave owners if you can help it.
Right, right. So it's like, you're saying and you're arguing Jesus Christ's death, because we can come to the agreement that
there are parts of the laws that we still follow.
So it's like, Christ, like, Christ, you know, he kind of like halfway died, you know, the grace halfway took over.
We no longer are saved by the law, we're saved by grace and faith and blah, 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 blah. Your work saved us.
But we still follow the law of Moses.
No, we don't.
That was given to Israel.
There are parts of the law that we still follow.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like,
parts of the law that
it's halfway grace, not, halfway not law because, of
not
Moses.
Because, not because we have to follow it due to the fact that God gave him to Moses and we have to follow it simply because it is what's morally correct and right because God has established it that way. You see what I'm saying now? It's kind of clicking.
So
there are parts of the law that we still follow. And the parts that we still follow, the parts that we don't follow anymore, areas. Are specifically set within the New Testament. If we study the New Testament and we see the things
like
that,
what?
Like, for example, the food. The food.
Uh-huh.
Peter said, don't. It's chill. We can eat whatever we want.
So what parts of the law do we still follow?
For example, the Sabbath. We don't follow anymore because Jesus specifically said, we ain't got to do that, big bro.
So what parts do we follow?
The part about we got to keep the stuff over our women's head. No, Paul said, no. The only time that is required is whenever women are serving God. Uh-huh. And if she doesn't want to do that, what does it say? How do you say it in English? Raparse?
Oh, they can just shave their heads, bro.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. For example, and I'm going to use our religion and our beliefs. We don't get tattoos.
Yeah.
Why? Because it was set in Leviticus. It's not that the law is forced upon us, but it is what's morally right and correct. Not because we're Jews, but it's because what's morally right and correct. The parts of the laws that we don't, and if you study, you know, the commandments, a lot of the commandments that Paul gave, a lot of the parts of the law that we do, that we don't follow anymore, were specifically set within Paul's teachings. There are a lot of the parts of the law that we do follow that we don't realize that we do. But it's and I'm talking about within our religion and our belief, but it's because Paul said it that way, or because Jesus said it that way, or because Peter said it that way within the teachings.
Oh, man, it's a good topic right here, because I could destroy you about
you
the law.
You kind of see what I'm saying? No.
You should read the book of Galatians. And whoever's listening to this guy's discourse and spill, please read the gospel or the epistle to the Galatians.
You're not opening your mind to my statement.
No, because
it's
so polemical.
I'm not saying the law is valid anymore.
But you're saying parts of it is.
I'm not saying the law. No, I'm not saying the law is necessary. I'm not saying we follow the law. But the law is still, parts of the law are still valid. Do you disagree on me on that? There's parts of the laws that are still valid. There are, right? And that's what I'm saying here. And the parts of the law that are invalid, a lot of the parts of the law that are invalid are specifically stated by Paul and by Peter and by Jesus. That we don't do that. Because those parts of the laws are invalid. But there are still parts of the law that are valid. Not that they're forced upon us, but they're valid because it's a moral compass that God set for us.
I see what you mean. I mean, I think at the end of the day, those are like, they're like moral standards. Where it's like, you're like the lawsuit hasn't ended yet.
No. The law ended.
There we go.
Of course.
What was the but though?
But there are parts of the laws that are of the law that are still valid.
So it hasn't ended then.
No.
You're like, it halfway ended.
You're not getting my point. Maybe I'm just wording myself wrong.
Probably you are.
I word myself better on this. Let me think. I hope the viewers are low-key understanding what I'm saying.
Or the listeners.
Listeners.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Okay. But you kind of get what I'm saying? Like, there are parts of the law that are
still valid. I think they're like
valid.
Standards.
There are teachings within the law that are still valid. Not that they are what we have to live by, but it is a moral compass to work towards.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you have an intellectual, like, being as God that establishes this moral standard, like, you know, it leaves no room for moral relativism in the sense that, you know, morality is morality. To kill, to murder is, to kill is bad. To murder is bad. Well, to kill is everything. Hold up. To murder. Let me say. Because you can kill animals and whatnot. But to murder is bad.
You know, honoring your father and your mom.
Honoring your mom. That's important. You still got to do that. You want to honor your mommy and your daddy. To still is bad. And in any culture, in any belief, whether it's Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, it's the moral standard set by God.
Like, what was the thing that the Mesopotamians had?
What?
The code?
The law of Hammurabi?
The Hammurabi's code. Hammurabi's code.
The code of Hammurabi, not the law. See, the code of Hammurabi?
See, you kind of picking up on what I'm saying. But my point here is still the same. There are parts of the law that are still valid to us. For example, mm-hmm. Let me use this one on you. In our religion, do we eat blood?
No, we don't eat blood.
We don't eat blood. Does that have any biblical backing?
There is.
Where is it?
Right now. Paul writes about it. I can find
it. Oh, Paul writes about it. Yeah, Paul writes about it. I haven't read that part.
You haven't read that part?
I haven't read Paul.
He says you can eat any type
because
of whatever,
Yeah, because it's the soul of the animal, because they don't.
Yeah, I gotta find it somewhere.
This is true. I was incorrect on this one. I
you were incorrect on a lot of them, but
I will refute my statement. But okay, but I hope you kind of understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, nah. I mean,
maybe I'm wording it wrong. Yeah, maybe like the moral standards that we still follow are still valid. Uh-huh. But you know, you kind of maybe I should word it like that from the beginning.
There's just something that
standards within the law that are valid because it's what God established.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying now?
Yeah. And when we follow those moral standards, we're doing works by faith. We believe in them, not because our ancestors, like the people of Israel, did. Like, they would follow the laws, like, oh, my mom, my grandpa, my dad, my grandfather, my great-grandfather would do it. And they would do it more like, more out of tradition. We do it by faith. We follow, not the law of Moses, but like the standards set by God through the gospel of Jesus Christ and everything that kind of entails it. We follow it through faith. And when we do that, and we do it, they're works, mm-hmm. because works are the fruit of our faith, the fruits of the Spirit. So yes, works do go hand in hand with faith.
Right,
for
back
salvation.
To the topic. Works go hand in hand with the salvation. You know, works. Remember, it says that there's a book of death and a book of life. In the book of life, it says what we did in our lives, and we'll be judged according to what we did in our lives, not to how much faith we had, but what we did in our lives. You know, it says if you had faith, you would be able to move this mountain.
But you worked with how much faith you had.
Yeah. But that's literally a work, you know? You know, you have faith, so he moved the mountain. He didn't say, oh, if you have the faith the size of a seed of mustard, you're going to have incredible amounts of faith. You're really going to believe in me
you're
now.
Saved.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
No, he said, if you have this much faith,
you could do
you'll
this.
Be able to move mountains. Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm saying, by having faith, you'll be able
but
to do
but through faith,
things.
You're able to act.
Jesus Christ. But we ought to, let's become, you ever think about going to the labor, bro?
I've thought about it, doing mission work, but I gotta get ready for it. All right, well, guys, so I think we can wrap it up here. Abram, I don't even know. I had a timer, but
the timer stopped. Oh my God, did we go too long?
People kept texting me and like, so
did we go too long?
I put do not disturb. Doesn't matter. Abram, do you have any last words, bro?
What should our next topic be about?
Whatever, we can talk about it later.
I've been arguing with this. We've been discussing. Super chill guy. I really like him. He's great. Discussing the Trinity recently, and like I feel like, you know, so I don't know if he listens
topic.
To this. If he listens, maybe he will.
You can send it to him.
I'll send it to him. But I feel like a lot of the verses that I give and he refutes, he like not necessarily manipulates, but he uses the format of the writing to defend himself. Have you ever had that with Trinitarians?
The format of the writing, what do
like,
you mean?
Like they're like, oh, it's because you're not reading it right.
Oh yeah, like the context
I'm like,
of
yeah,
it.
I'm
you're
like,
taking it out of context.
I don't know, man. It's kind of like it's stating this. You know, I use the I use Acts 2 where it says God gave the promise of the Holy Spirit to his son Jesus. He goes, oh, it's because you're not reading the context right. I'm like, it's literally saying God
it's
gave
explicit.
The promise of the Holy Spirit to Jesus. Yeah. It didn't say that, you know.
How much clearer could I get?
Yeah,
can
like,
get?
Like
yeah.
It literally sets us a difference between, hey, God gives the Holy Spirit, Jesus receives it. You know, it's not like it sets up like it has the Trinity valid if it shows an unequalness between God and Jesus, with God being the one who gives the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus had to receive it from God.
Yeah. Good stuff, man. I think we can look into Origen. Origen's a good philosopher or
good
person. I'd advise you to follow him up. He talks about that, like how like...
Is he a Trinitarian? Or is
no, he's not. Let me find
it's
out for
really
you.
Interesting. All my Christian talk is just Trinity. Like, it's crazy how many people don't... Mm-hmm. Oh, except for that one Pastor Jennings. You know Pastor Jennings, the black guy?
No.
Dude, he's great. I like him.
he gets hated on a lot by, you know, all the other TikToks that I see, because all the other TikToks are Catholic or Orthodox. But honestly, bro, if I feel like Orthodox people, they're chill, bro. Like
Saint or heretic? Wow, you.
Saint or heretic?
Yeah, that's what you mean. Like origin, the guy. I'll show you. I'll send the what's it called?
The link.
What link? So you can check.
I think
out.
You know, if there's any Orthodox viewers on here, I think y'all are so chill, bro. Like I really like the way.
Yeah, you guys are pretty cool. Abram said he'd convert to them. Like Abram's open to convert to anything except our religion, bro. Our church. He could be an atheist, a Jehovah's Witness, a Catholic. You know that he so much loves.
Dude,
Eastern Orthodox.
Eastern Orthodox, they're just chill, dude. I see them, I'm like, Jesus Christ. Y'all are chill. Like, y'all are the chillest church I ever see. The people are great. Yeah, Catholics, I don't know. I like Catholics. You know, love to all my brothers. I love to all my Christian brothers. Everyone who believes in Christ, I see hope for you.
Alhamdulillah. All right, man. So, it was good having you, Bambi. You know, this episode is brought to you by the Burrito Foundation.
Burrito Foundation.
Providing services.
Is this Burrito or the Salazar Foundation?
Burrito Foundation.
Okay.
That's cool. Nah, it's not an actual thing. But I just wanted to say, like, so we can, it sounds like we have sponsors, stuff like that. Well, guys, we made it to the end of this pod. Our episode.
If you
thanks
made it
for
this,
holding on.
I give you a how do you say it? Dos culo santo in English.
A greeting. I don't know. Holy greeting.
The holy greeting.
Yeah.
When Paul would kiss people.
Yeah. I don't want to kiss you. Yeah. Well, so like Abram, I know a lot of people, a lot of you might have you know wavered a little bit in faith with the ridiculous comments that Abram would make, or the
and they're all jokes, but I really do believe
or
in Christ.
The controversial topic
comments,
controversial
topics, but like
whatever.
I really do believe in Christ and all the teachings.
But thank you for
trust, bro. Trust.
You know, making it to the end. May the Lord bless you and
if
keep you.
If I don't ask
you.
The questions, who will?
Yeah, yeah. May the Lord bless you and keep you guys. And yeah, until next time.
If
bye bye.
If you
want
to join the Third Crusade, do it.
All right, bye guys. Bye, Abram.